Hey, we've got Labor Day clearance, shopping, and a tailgate party all taking place over at Jesse Brown's Outdoors on August 31st from 11 to 3. Stop by Jesse Brown's for some greens, hot dogs, and drinks, and savings all at one time as we start tailgate season at Jesse Brown's.
All right, Bill, we're back on the Carolina Outdoor, and this segment is dedicated to Duke.
That's right. That's one of our co-workers over at Jesse Brown's Outdoors.
And this is where Duke came from, isn't it?
That's right. We're going to talk about Duke the shop dog who works over at Jesse Brown's. He hadn't worked very hard this summer. He's been out in the country, but back to school and the new season that's quickly coming upon us will mean that Duke is back at work at Jesse Brown's. And Don, as you mentioned, he was an adopted dog, if you will, and they came from an organization that serves the Charlotte area, the South Charlotte area and such, and we're going to learn a little bit more about these people and this organization called Carolina Paws, P-A-W-S, which is Pet Adoption and Welfare Society. And not only did Duke the shop dog come from there, but a few years later, I was able to call back because it was time for Duke to get a dog sister, if you will, and we got a puppy named Calliope that came from there as well. And they don't just do dogs, they do cats, they may do birds too, but we're going to find out all about that from Robin Gribble of Carolina Paws right now on the Carolina Outdoors. Robin, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, Don kind of gave insight, and then I gave a little insight on how we got Duke the dog. But talk to us a little bit about Carolina Paws and how it works, because it's not just a quick phone call, you get a new pet. There's a little bit more involved in being a parent of an adopted dog. Tell us about that.
Sure. So with Carolina Paws, and probably most rescues, our job as we see it is to make sure that the cat or the dog, the puppy, the kitten, it's not just a home, it's the perfect home that we can find, and that it's their forever home. And so we do several different processes. A lot of people will find them on our Facebook page or Pet Finder or our website, and then they'll put in an application. And we'll look through the application. And some people think, oh, I can't apply because I live in an apartment or I live in a condo or I don't have a fenced-in yard. But we look at the individual animal. So we do have some seniors that don't need fenced-in yards, and we have some puppies that need fenced-in yards. And so we look at, you know, just the individual of who they're applying for. And if they look like on paper, oh, this would be a good fit, you know, there's a family that wants a puppy or whatever, then we look to see if they've had pets before. We will do what we call a vet check, and that's really just to make sure that, you know, they take care of their animals with the vets and make sure that they keep them up to date on their shots. And especially here in the South, heartworm is just very prevalent, so heartworm prevention is key. And, of course, it's not, we don't require it, but let me tell you, fleas are horrible here too, so flea prevention is pretty important for both cats and dogs. And then once we do the vet check, then we'll do a phone interview. And that is the adopter's opportunity to ask lots of questions about the pet that they're applying for. And that's also, it gives us a chance to ask more questions about, you know, their lifestyle and what they're really looking for. Because, you know, a picture of a puppy doesn't always tell the whole story, because some puppies are laid back and some puppies are like crazy. And, you know, what kind of personality are you looking for, kind of thing. And then once that's all done and everybody is satisfied, we'll do a home visit. And that's really the last thing. And that's really the most important thing, because we'll come to the home with the animal. A lot of people will meet them at our adoption events that they're held at PetSmart or other little things around Charlotte. But especially dogs in particular, they don't always act themselves. You know, it's a new place and new people and lots of distractions. But when you're in somebody's home, they're kind of more at ease, and you can really see what this dog or cat are really like in your home. And then we can see how the family interacts as well. And then after that, they get adopted.
Well, I was amazed, and I'm kind of piggybacking on what you just said, because I went through that process. But it really started with the picture of a black lab named Luke that I saw, and I had talked to my wife, and she said, yes, why don't you call Carolina Paws? Let's get that dog there, 4-year-old black lab named Luke. So I called, mm-hmm. and I applied, and then I got a phone call, and we were just chatting, and I told them my story. You know, I have young children, Jesse Browns, those sorts of things. And I was advised, you know, Luke is a great black lab. But from hearing what you're saying, we have another dog in foster care named Duke mm-hmm. that you may consider getting him. So Duke was a 3-year-old black lab. But anyway, the advice was well taken. We got Duke instead of Luke. And mm-hmm. Luke went to a family soon thereafter my phone call. So he landed in a nice place as well, his forever home. But we've been ever grateful for that advice in getting the dog named Duke that we have in our family and who works with Don and I over at Jesse Brown's. Listen, once you get a dog, how does all of that work? Because there is adoptions, spay, neuter, all of those. And I keep saying dog. I should say pet because we're also talking about cats and other animals as well. But what is that process as far as spaying and neutering and obtaining all of those shots when dealing with Carolina Paws?
So it just depends most often on the age of the animal. So, of course, if you're adopting an 8-week-old puppy, they've received their first shot, and we've done any sort of vetting that happens before that, if, you know, they get sick or whatever. And then we will schedule a spay or neuter, whatever is necessary, down the road. So for actually big dogs, they're now recommending to wait to neuter them for almost a year. They're finding that it's linked to cancer. So, you know, the boys will go longer. The girls, nothing has been linked to cancer, so we can do them earlier, around 5 or 6 months. Now, adult dogs, when we get them, we can, you know, get them spayed and neutered pretty quickly. Same with kittens. Kittens can actually be spayed and neutered pretty early. So a lot, it just depends on where they are in the process. But no matter what, whether you have to take them to one of the clinics that we work with, they will either be spayed or neutered at one point. So you'll either adopt them being spayed or neutered, or you will be responsible to take them. But that fee is covered with your adoption fee. So it's not something that's coming out of your pocket. It's just something that we make sure is taken care of. And we also make sure every animal that comes from Carolina Paws is microchipped.
Now you're mentioning puppies a lot. Are you placing more puppies or more adult dogs?
We do probably 40% puppies, 60% dogs. It's just I personally do puppies. I've done many litters of puppies. Matter of fact, I have a litter of puppies right now. So I'm more well-versed with the puppies than I am adults. I do adults, but my happy place is puppies.
Now how many dogs is Carolina Paws handling a year, for example?
Probably between 200 to 300.
Yeah, and Robin, you've been working with Carolina Paws as a foster parent for puppies for quite a while. Do you see or can you speak anecdotally to an increase in pet adoptions, or is it stay about the same, or is it growing or declining, I guess is my question.
I would say it's definitely growing. I think people as a society, as they become more and more educated, and social media certainly has helped with this, is people are more aware of the sad things that go on behind the scenes, you know, not getting your animal spayed and neutered. And I think people have such wonderful hearts that they're like, you know what, I can give that particular dog or cat a great home. And so people just kind of open their hearts and their homes, and I'm seeing it more and more prevalent. Like people are saying, I would rather adopt. I'd rather save an animal than go and buy one from a breeder. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, going either route, but I just love that people are just more aware of what's going on.
Well, the sad part of that is the other side is that all these dogs and cats and so forth need homes. How is it that we seem to be increasing that number?
just from personal experience, my husband and I do some volunteering at a local shelter, and it seems to be the poorer the county, the less the education. So there's still a lot of people out there that don't see dogs or cats as living beings, they're possessions. So it, to them, it's okay to have a dog on a chain outside all their whole lives in a doghouse. And if they have puppies, then they just sell the puppies, or they give away the puppies or the kittens. And it's just not seen, you know, as a living, wonderful, you know, family member. And that's probably where you see the most of the, you know, where the shelters are just jammed full. Unfortunately, the hunting community, there is a little bit of that where once the hunting dog is not all that great, they just leave them. They just leave them in the woods. So, you know, in certain areas, you'll see a lot of hounds. Certain areas, you see a lot of pit bulls. It just, you know, it just depends. But that's what I'm mostly seeing is just a lack of education. And, you know, the way that people, you know, when you have a child, you're going to teach them the what you know, and these kids are being taught, oh, that's just a hunting dog. Who cares? They'll fend for themselves. Or, oh, you know, they can only live on a chain outside. And unfortunately, you know, the education still, as good as it's getting, it still has a ways to go.
Well, and you know what? It's not all about just adoption either. And we're talking Robin Gribble, Carolina Paws, Pet Adoption and Welfare Society. It's also about volunteers, because it's an all-volunteer organization. And yeah. I'm sure if we go to carolinapaws.com, there are links so that we can be just like you, a foster for these mm-hmm. animals. We can be a volunteer with Carolina Paws, or we can donate to the cause there as well. And there are volunteers with Carolina Paws that are out at PetSmart in Blakeney each Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we can do all of those things. But Robin Gribble, we want to thank you for joining us to talk about Carolina Paws today on the Carolina Outdoors.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Off she goes, and we'd like to thank Todd Pearson, firefighter, and his appearance out at the Southern Women's Show with other Charlotte Fire Department members, as well as thanking Cindy Brown from North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources and the Maritime Museums. For TJ Boggs, he's Don Yeager. This is Bill Barty saying, pick up your trash, and we'll see you next time right here on the Carolina Outdoors.